Today's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, 1, verses 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brought them to the top of a very high mountain. He was transformed in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with Jesus. Peter reacted to all of this by saying, "Lord, it is good that we're here. If you want, I'll make three shrines, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." When he was speaking, look, a bright cloud overshadowed them. A voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I dearly love. I am very pleased with him. Listen to him." Hearing this, the disciples fell on their faces, filled with awe. But Jesus touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Don't tell anybody about the vision until the human one is raised from the dead." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every year on this Sunday before Ash Wednesday, we hear one of the gospel accounts of the Transfiguration story, a bridge between the seasons of Epiphany and Lent. The scripture text is one of those stories that seems a bit outrageous, and yet the various pieces seem to fit together when you look at them as connecting these two seasons. Epiphany begins with the arrival of the Magi, who bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all gifts that imply Jesus' kingship, but also allude to his death. The Sunday after that is the baptism of Jesus, which marks the beginning of his public ministry. And now we prepare for the Lenten season, in which we travel through the events which lead to Jesus' final week on earth. The Transfiguration is a bridge in which the glory of Christ shines like the Epiphany star, because Jesus is indeed the light of the world. But it also includes symbolic characters, as well as Jesus' disciples, who experience the events from a different perspective. Jesus offers an encouraging word so that they can continue on the journey with him to what awaits all of them in Jerusalem. It's important to note, as we begin to reflect on this passage, that the Gospel of Matthew was written in about 80 CE, 50 years after Jesus' death. The synagogue of which Matthew is a part believes that Jesus will come again soon. That is what Jesus promised. They are awaiting the realization of God's kingdom on earth, but they're getting impatient, and they're wondering if it will actually happen. In addition, they're still living in a country occupied by Rome, and they're trying to sort through what it means for Gentiles to be part of what began as a Jewish group. Those hearing Matthew's gospel for the first time are living in an era filled with tension and anxiety about the future, something to which we can all relate. Although the Transfiguration story may seem a bit out there, it is meant to be reassuring to its first audience. They have just heard in chapter 16 that Jesus has called his disciples to take up their cross and follow him. The first hearers know that this is true, that that is indeed what happened, They are experiencing it in real time as early members of what was called the Way, kind of a subgroup that was facing their own challenges. So to have this transfiguration story follow this reminder reassured them of Jesus' promise that we would come again, that he would come again in glory. Matthew reassures his fellow believers by placing Moses, who led the Hebrew people out of slavery, beside Elijah, who was one of the first major prophets, two very important figures from Hebrew scripture. They stood up on that mountain. They appear with Jesus, who said that he came to fulfill the law which Moses brought down to the people, as well as the prophets whom Elijah leads. Those in that first century synagogue, therefore, are reminded that Jesus was a Jew, but also the Messiah. And Jesus is not alone with Moses and Elijah. He brings along with him three of his closest friends and disciples, Peter, James, and John. They have gone to the mountain to pray, but then Moses and Elijah are there, and then suddenly Jesus is transfigured, his face changed, his clothes are shining brightly. It's reminiscent of when Moses came to the people after meeting God in the tent of meeting, and his face shone. The disciples are overcome, however, scared and in awe, and they fall to their knees with their faces to the ground, probably muttering to one another, "What in the world? Did I see what I think I saw? For real? We must be seeing things." But Jesus offers a word of encouragement. "Get up. Don't be afraid." These are important words, because as the disciples will soon see, danger awaits them. But more importantly, it awaits Jesus. Following Jesus, we know, is risky business, because loving our neighbor, making sacrifices, and picking up our crosses doesn't always make sense in our wider world. The values are different. Sometimes standing up for the oppressed or spreading the wealth around makes people angry. The disciples needed to hear an encouraging word, as did those members of that first century synagogue, as do we. It is difficult to keep up our energy and courage when so much around us seems unstable, in conflict, or constantly changing. The economy, climate change, political parties and systems, religious institutions, and technology are just a few things that are in flux in our world. Life just seems like a series of ups and downs in so many areas that it can be worrisome and, frankly, exhausting, sometimes leading to feelings of insecurity and fatigue. So yes, we need words of encouragement. We need to hear that we're doing a good job, that someone sees we're doing our best in our daily lives, that what we do is appreciated and not taken for granted. We need reassurance that eventually things will stabilize and improve. We need to be reminded of our Christian beliefs and the foundation on which we have built our lives. We need to hear, like the disciples, "Do not be afraid." We need Jesus' assurance that things will be okay, whatever awaits us. As we conclude our series today, Spiritual Affective Disorder, the final practice for us is to that will help shed light on our winter blahs is giving words of encouragement. Offering words of appreciation and affirmation goes a long way in our relationships, whether there are personal ones or professional ones. It helps others to know that the energy and effort that they are putting into something is noticed, that we see them, that we see their actions. Sharing a kind word, letting a friend know that they will get a new job eventually, congratulating someone who accomplishes something big, cheering on your child or your grandchild who is struggling with a class or a friendship, complimenting someone's new haircut or outfit. All of these small acts can bring a smile to someone's face in the midst of challenging times. We don't just show our care on Mother's Day or Father's Day or Valentine's Day, birthdays or anniversaries, but on a regular basis. It helps others know that they are seen and known, as well as loved unconditionally. And it's not just the recipient of those words who is blessed. The giver also experiences a sense of joy when offering a kind word. A series of studies conducted by two researchers, one of whom is from Cornell University, showed that people's moods improved not just after receiving a compliment, but after giving one. Sometimes we may feel strange about giving a compliment. We don't want to come across the wrong way, especially if it is someone we don't know very well. But one study found that people who received the compliments felt happier, more pleased and flattered than the compliment giver predicted. Furthermore, the researchers also found that compliment givers were in a better mood after delivering a compliment and reported that they would be more likely to give a compliment to a stranger in the future. We know how receiving a compliment makes us feel, so we shouldn't be shy about giving them, because such actions improve everyone's day. God's voice comes from the heavens in this story of transfiguration, just as it did at Jesus' baptism. God says from the heavens, "This is my son. With him I am well pleased. Listen, listen to him." These words weren't just so the disciples and others would learn and remember who Jesus was, but I think they were for Jesus himself. He needed words of encouragement to do that which his Father in heaven had called him to do. The experience on the mountaintop affirmed Jesus' purpose and direction. He was fulfilling the law and the prophets. He was teaching and training his disciples who would carry on after his death and resurrection. Jesus knew that the journey ahead to Jerusalem would be incredibly difficult. So hearing that God was pleased with him was a way of cheering him on, letting him know that he could accomplish, that he could endure what lay ahead for him, even though it would be extremely difficult. In an email I received a couple weeks ago in preparation for Lent, this quote was offered, which I feel really relates to this idea of getting cheered on when we're having a hard time. It reads, and this is from John Pavlovitz, "As people of faith, we get up when we fall because we are a people of hope. We accept the descent, as the invitation to rise again. The spiritual journey, like the human experience, is not a level, linear path where pitfalls are uniform, and where growth is predictable and the progress comfortable. It is a messy, meandering, awkward path of stops and starts. It's made of both the falling and the getting back up. And the former is often far easier than the latter. After I began the journey of divorce, my mom began sending me daily texts or Facebook messages, quotes or memes of encouragement, sometimes more than one, maybe sometimes a few too many. And she continues to do that. It has been a great gift in the midst of so much transition over the last 15 months. We encourage one another. Me as I continue to transition, but her as she deals with the challenges of aging, like so many of you know well. And I continue to live into this new season of life. We encourage one another in these journeys. We all need cheerleaders in our lives. We need those people walking beside us in life to let us know that we can accomplish goals we set for ourselves, that we can make it through a tough experience. Sometimes we need people who can just simply get us up and out the door in the morning when it's a difficult one. There are enough challenges in our lives and world right now that being positive and appreciative is so very important. Just like the early Christians in Matthew's synagogue, we need to feel God's presence and see Christ's glory as encouragement to keep on going each and every day. So, get up. Do not be afraid. Amen.